Hello and welcome to this podcast on software quality. My name is Randy Rice and I'll be your host. This podcast is dated March 24th, 2006, and the main topic of this episode will be credibility. And we're going to look at how to build your credibility as a tester or a test manager. But before we get into that, let's look at some of the quality-related news in the past couple of weeks here. One of the big stories that broke, actually the dateline on this is March 13th, 2006, is the McAfee antivirus update that wreaked havoc on a lot of computers. That was blamed on a coding error, it says, according to Computer World, and it was identified fairly shortly after it was released, so McAfee did hop on it pretty quickly, but the upshot of the defect was that the update incorrectly identified and renamed and quarantined hundreds of legitimate executables, including things like excel.exe, lsetup.exe, uninstall.exe, shutdown.exe, and reg.exe. Some pretty important things there. Basically, this really hit the people that had configured their antivirus programs by McAfee to automatically delete the bad files. There's an option that you can just quarantine, and so these people had selected deletion, which basically caused a lot of the problems. And once again, you know, this is not just something that has happened with McAfee software. Symantec had a situation earlier in the year where it mistakenly flagged some Microsoft anti-spyware, and also last year Trend Micro had an update that had some unintentional impacts as well. You know, the thing that I take away from this, a couple of things. Number one is that, you know, this idea of commercial software and just being able to install it and not realize the impact of bugs can be kind of a state of denial, I think, for some people. I think, you know, sometimes people just put something in, put a release in, and expect that everything's going to go fine. And basically, antivirus software is just like any other commercial off-the-shelf product. It does have bugs in it. There is no such thing as perfect software. So I think one lesson learned is from, you know, using commercial software is to do our own testing beforehand. But then to me, the other thing that it points out is how, you know, just a regular thing such as, you know, the release of an antivirus update can cause some pretty serious impacts, you know, if that doesn't behave as we expected it to. So, you know, some good lessons learned there, and I think to really pay attention to that would be a pretty big thing. And with the kind of security issues that we have now, this is a fact of life for many of us. And so to keep up with the viruses, the irony is that sometimes we experience problems even worse than what the viruses could have. Another story that I thought was interesting is that some banks in China have been hacked, and their servers have been now host for some of the major phishing sites. So when you get those fake emails that appear to be from your bank or from other legitimate places like eBay or such, then you know, you never know. But these phishing attacks are getting better and better all the time, and especially when they come from a legitimate server, that even makes it tougher. So certainly be on the watch for things like that. And one other security-related news item fairly recently, VeriSign made public some massive denial-of-service attacks recently. Well, I say recently, earlier in the year, January and mid-February timeframe, VeriSign said that about 1,500 organizations worldwide were attacked earlier this year by unknown hackers who employed botnets and domain name system servers to swamp networks with unmanageable torrents of data. And a lot of times this kind of attack typically involves thousands of compromised, what's called zombie systems that send all this data to servers and networks. But in this case, the attackers also spoofed some domain name requests from botnets to some of the DNS servers. And this was also an amplified attack too. So I don't know about you, but there was a time there in that January, mid-February timeframe that I remember just it seemed like things were really, really slow on some of the websites, and even just you know, generally on the internet, things seem to really slow down for a period of time. Then, of course, you know, that could happen any place across the internet. It could have been that or regardless. But to me, the amazing thing is this happened, and you know, people went on doing their thing on the internet. It was supposedly, though, a fairly significant attack. So these things are going to continue, I expect. And so just, I think the lesson here is for all of us to be as diligent as possible on the servers that we have control of, to make sure that all the updates are up to date, and that we're doing everything we can to keep our server at least from being a launching ground for some of these things. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the main topic of this podcast will be on building your credibility as a tester. By the way, if you'd like to see the printed version of this, it's on riceconsulting.com under the resources section under articles. But anyway, just a little bit of background on this topic. One of the students in one of my classes, actually it was the How to Become a Better Tester workshop, asked me a very interesting question. And that question was, how do you rebuild credibility as a tester? And it was one of those questions that kind of put me on the spot, because I really didn't have anything prepared on it, no PowerPoint slides, no past research done on this. But I did start thinking about it, and I really came to realize that there's quite a few things behind that question, I think, that really is very important to a lot of testers and test managers. So that led me actually to write three articles on that train of thought. One was how to build your credibility as a tester. The other one was how to destroy your credibility as a tester. And finally, the third one was how to rebuild your credibility as a tester. Now, in the next episode, we'll look at the other two, how to destroy and how to rebuild your credibility as a tester. Anyway, some of the things that I came to see about credibility was that it's really a lot like quality in general. It's kind of hard to define exactly, but you sure know it when you see it. And I also started seeing credibility as a multifaceted attribute that embodies things like reliability, knowledge, consistency, reputation, trust, attitude, caring, and attention to detail. Now, I'm going to explore each of these in more detail in just a moment, but we can learn a lot from some real-world examples to see the importance of credibility. In fact, after I had written this article, I started paying attention more and more to things in the news that struck at the issue of credibility. In the article, I give a couple of examples, and I also give a disclaimer in there that I'm not taking any political sides in the article, but one was on the Iraq situation and the weapons of mass destruction. And I think if you look at what went on there, certain amounts of credibility were lost in that whole thing, the way that whole thing played out. Another example was that of Jason Blair and the stories that he wrote for the New York Times that had been realized later that had been fabricated. Perhaps one of the most recent examples of this has to do with Oprah Winfrey's endorsement of James Frey's book, A Million Little Pieces. And in fact, if you go out to the smokinggun.com website, you'll see their perspective on all of this. But to me, the larger lesson is to look to see how credibility was impacted from two different perspectives. One, the author, James Frey, and the other was Oprah Winfrey's. I would suggest that, of course, Oprah had a lot more at stake in credibility than did James Frey. But the responses were totally different, and I think the attitudes of people toward the people involved were totally different. For example, Oprah, she hung with the story for a little while, I think because of her conversations with Frey and interviews on the show, and she believed the stories to be authentic at first. And like in a lot of cases when credibility is at stake, we want to believe something. And I think she wanted to believe Frey's stories were totally true. But when she came to doubt it herself, she was very upfront about it and was very quick to come upfront about her thoughts on what was going on. If you look at Jane Fry's attitude on the whole thing, it's been more of a contentious thing, especially between him and the Smoking Gun website. And so at that point, I just kind of say, well, you know, you can make up your own mind as to the degree of embellishment, perhaps, that was involved there. But I think the thing that we can see for sure is that credibility was at stake, and that we saw two different responses, and I think Oprah's response was probably the best one in this. In fact, I'm sure it was the best one in this. So the point of all this is that when you lose credibility, you lose a lot. And I tell testers all the time that credibility really is their most important attribute, because without credibility, testers have great difficulty in being heard in their organization. And, you know, the findings are often distrusted. And so if people can't believe you, then what good is the information that you're relaying? And, of course, that's exactly what we do as testers. We relay information about things. So the title of the presentation and the article is very intentional in using the word build. Credibility isn't instant. It's typically built over a proven track record over time. Now, I don't know how much time it takes, because that depends on the people involved. But I do know that everyone goes through a proving time in every job. And, of course, that includes testers. The most striking thing to me is that it may take years to build credibility, but it can be lost in a few seconds. For example, in a meeting, you may say something to someone very harshly, or you may say something that you know is a lie, or you may say something that is just totally inappropriate. That can undo years of credibility in an organization. So credibility is a very fragile thing. So let's look at a few of the credibility attributes and factors that I mentioned earlier. If you observe credible people, you'll see many, if not all, of these things in their personalities and their nature. The first is knowledge. Others must feel comfortable that you know what you're talking about. Knowledge can be demonstrated in many ways, with the language and experience being two of the best. You may have all types of degrees and or certifications, but the real test is real-world application of your knowledge. And then caring. You may have all the knowledge in the world, but it'll be worthless if people don't feel that you value them. If you come across as a prima donna or a hotshot, then your credibility is going to suffer. I like what John Maxwell says. He says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And another one is attitude. Like caring, your attitude is another factor that must be in place for knowledge. Great knowledge with a bad attitude will make you just another unpopular team member. Another attribute is objectivity. As a tester, people expect you to convey impartial and meaningful information. If the information becomes overly optimistic or overly pessimistic, the information is skewed and unreliable. Process is important to test reporting because it helps define the evaluation criteria, and it also keeps the politics and the emotions out of the message. Another credibility factor is accuracy. Personally, if I find something of interest that could be indicative of a defect, I recreate the situation and perform the test again. And I do this to make sure that what I'm reporting is accurate and reproducible. Once a tester reports inaccurate information, a little credibility is lost, and future test reports may be doubted. Testers are often trusted to provide specific, accurate information about where problems are observed, when they're observed, the context, and the situation under which the testing was performed, among other details. Developers rely on this information to recreate and resolve defects. And when that accuracy is missing, little can be trusted. I often tell testers that since they can't test everything, and they're not responsible for the quality of the software, the main way a tester can fail is to fail to report accurately a defect that they've observed. And then there's trust. The more people can rely on you to know things and to be a valuable team member, the more credible you'll be in their eyes. Like credibility itself, trust is also earned over time. And then there's congruency. This means that you walk the talk. You do things that are consistent with the words that you say. And then there's attention to detail. Credible people pay attention to details. They know that larger successes depend on the success or failure of smaller things. A credible person will review something several times just to make sure their credibility is not diminished by a careless mistake. Now, please hear me out on this one. Nobody's perfect, and we all make mistakes because we're human. The key is to do your best and to learn from your mistakes. It's when you don't care about your mistakes that credibility suffers. In fact, people who study responses to incidents have found that people are typically more impressed or unimpressed by the response to a problem than they are to the initial occurrence of the problem. So let's talk about how to build your credibility as a tester. Now, there is no perfect way to build credibility, but here are a few things that may help. First of all, take a personal, and if you're in a team setting, take a team inventory. You need to take an honest look at yourself and the people you work with to see how credible you currently are. Some questions you may want to ask include, from the individual standpoint, how often do people seek my advice? After I've given advice, do people seek second opinions? Do people show confidence in my opinions? Do I have a plan for building my skills and my knowledge? How many books on testing have I read in the past year? Have I ever spoken at a testing conference? Do I participate in online testing forums? Do I have a reputation for caring? And am I a positive person? Now, for teams, you may want to ask, how do other people in the organization view our team? Do people trust the information provided by our team? And do the people on our team keep their knowledge current? The second thing to do is to identify your strengths and weaknesses. Assess yourself and your team to identify your strengths and your weaknesses. You may want to focus on your strengths and then find ways to compensate for your weaknesses. If you try to improve a weakness, you may get a little better, but at best, you'll probably just be average. It's good enough to know what you're best at doing and let others do what they're best at doing. There is wisdom in knowing when to defer to others to answer questions outside of your own strengths. And then third, build good relationships. People see competency at the relationship level. It's possible to have credibility from a distance, such as being an author or a minor testing celebrity. However, to really know how good someone is, you need to spend some time with them. We had a situation in my hometown of Oklahoma City recently that I think really illustrated this. On the local news one night recently, they had a story on there where a gentleman had called one of the nationwide lawn care companies to come and treat his lawn. And he had also installed a security camera on his front porch, and it was going all day. Well, when the guy from the lawn treatment company drove up, right there on the video, and there was a time clock going, so there was no lapses or no editing going on, the guy got out of the truck, put a sign in the yard, walked to the door, put an invoice in the door, went back to the truck, and drove away. There was absolutely no treatment of the lawn. And keep in mind, this was a nationwide lawn care company. Okay. Well, of course, the company's response on the situation was it was an isolated incident, and they fired the guy that did it and all that. But I was thinking about the situation and thinking, would I be willing to have them come out and do my lawn if I wasn't looking? I lost a little bit of trust in that. Now, I have a guy that does my lawn treatments. He comes out about 5 or 6 times a year. His name's Marty, and he has his own company, and actually he's the only guy that does the yards. He's a sole proprietor. And I've known Marty for several years now. I've seen the work he does. He does a lot of people's work. And I know Marty. And I know that he always does a good job. I know he's an honest guy and that he's going to do what he says he does. And it's all based in relationship. And so that's what I mean. When you know someone, when you know their intentions, when you know their motivations, you're going to be able to have a credible relationship with them. Now, step four, or the fourth thing you can do, is to demonstrate competency. This happens on a case-by-case basis over a period of time. This is where the building also comes into play. If you're new to an organization, it may be months or even years before people really find you credible. And then step five, be willing to make mistakes. If you do mess up, admit it and go on. We're human, we're going to make mistakes. Just don't blame or shift blame or deny it. Just be human and be humble and go on. I think that's what Oprah did in the Million Little Pieces situation, that really I think now, you know, people are still going to buy a book or buy something recommended by Oprah. She lost a little credibility, but she didn't lose all of her credibility. That's the thing to see here. I don't know how it's playing out for James Frye. Okay. Step six, or the sixth thing you can do, is to reassess and adjust. As time goes on, keep asking questions, keep making adjustments. Before you know it, you and your team's credibility will rise in the organization. So in conclusion, credibility is the key to being an effective voice for quality in an organization. It takes some time to build your credibility, but it can be lost in an instant. There are several factors involved in building credibility, and paying attention to these factors and understanding your own strengths and weaknesses can put you on the road to building your credibility in the organization. Now, I'm going to be giving a talk on this in a track session at Star East in May of 2006. And so if you're at Star East, I hope you check out my session there. If you don't know about Star East, go to sqe.com and you'll find all the information there. And I'm also going to be doing a tutorial, a one-day tutorial on test team leadership, on becoming an influential test team leader. And we'll also be talking about credibility in that session as well, along with a lot of other things. And it's a really pretty good tutorial, so I hope if you're a test team leader and if you need a boost in your skills and your knowledge, I hope you check that tutorial out. Once again, that'll be the week of May 15th, I believe, 2006, Star East in Orlando, Florida. Well, that's it for our podcast this time. Check back with us in a couple of weeks. We'll have another one out there, and I hope you've enjoyed this one. Feel free to contact me through our website at www.riceconsulting.com. This is Randy Rice. I'll see you on the next podcast.